I shall give you a countdown.
Well, Bryce, it's a pleasure to have you here for what I think will be the last interview I do in this project, the Voices of the Grain Trade Oral History Project. And your experience in the trade was quite short, but I think it's a very interesting one. So let's do it properly at the beginning, if you can give me your full name and where you were born.
Bryce Nolan Epp, born in Burnaby, B.C., November 23rd, 72.
Okay, so... The question, you might say just a little bit about your life experience, because we're going to be focusing on a period in 2006.
05, actually.
Oh, it turns out to be 05?
August 30, 05, is that right? I know it's small 05, print. Yes. 05, that's right.
Going to hang it on the damn Harper Tories. But
yeah, sorry about that. You know, unfortunately, these days I wear reading glasses, and I don't know if I had them on when I...
Those poor Tories have been kicked down enough, Ernie.
It was an evil government. Anyway, what did your life and experience include before you got to this interesting summer of 2005?
Well, at that point, I had built a custom dream home by Seddon's Corner, Manitoba.
East of Beausejour.
East of Beausejour on Highway 44, the old Trans-Canada. And I'd been driving truck for some time around the western provinces, but this opportunity came up to do this job with SGS and to do it with a friend of mine, Rob Heinrichs. So I took the opportunity.
So how did they set you up then to do the work that you're going to describe?
Well, so what it was that it was a lead we followed up through a good friend of mine, Bill Reed, and he was an inspector, a grain inspector for his career, and he worked for SGS. So they were looking...
Had he retired from, say, the Grain Commission?
Yeah, he was no longer with the Grain Commission, but he was still working, and working as a contractor for SGS.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brought us in because there wasn't really any experience necessary, just a little bit I guess fearlessness, because some of the jobs entailed climbing high heights, and I was fine with that because I'd done swing stage work in Vancouver
you
previously.
Expand on just that
oh,
just
swing stage work, yeah. When I was in Vancouver, I worked in the late 90s repairing high rises. And so it required Bolson chair work and swing stage work. So, and I've never been afraid of heights, so I thought I'd have no problem with that. So
Did they advertise? Or?
No, it was just they didn't need many of us.
Did you run into Bill Reed? Or?
Yeah, he's an uncle of one of my best friends, Jason Andrews. Okay. And so through that connection, through Jason... I met Bill, and Bill told me about this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Rob, also a close friend, jumped on it. Because it was a great opportunity. It was short term, but that wasn't really all that apparent at the time when we were hired. Like, SGS is a large global company, and actually other jobs had presented themselves while I was there. So, I mean, the opportunity was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we took it.
So you got some... training or briefing for the work?
Right. So even though we were all, Rob also had worked on the high rises in BC, so he wasn't afraid of heights as well. So we all did this training. I got the certificate. They sent us to Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association to a company out in Saskatoon, and it's August 30th, 05 was the date on the certificate. So for a fall protection course, just because of the high altitudes we were climbing.
So their only concern at the outset was that you be safe when you were clambering up greeneries or whatever.
Yeah, right? They needed everyone to have the certificate for their insurance purposes. Mm-hmm. So they flew everyone in the group to Saskatoon except myself, because at the time I owned a motorcycle.
And
I was eager to drive it whenever the chance arose. So I rode my motorcycle through the rain most of the way, Saskatoon and back, instead of fly. But that's when we took the training. And then immediately started the job. There was three... crews of two members in each crew. There were six of us that did the province. It was sectioned off.
And the gave you a vehicle to do?
They gave us a brand new Ford F-150 crew cab truck, 4x4 truck. So we were decked out in the most luxurious ride, leather interior, you know, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful truck. So, and the really interesting thing about the equipment, I guess, is the harvester that collected the sample was custom made for SGS for this project, because this was a pilot project, so this had never been done. So what they had created was this giant vacuum that was in a steel frame, big cylindrical vacuum with a massive motor on top, that which was electric. It was driven by a generator that we carried with us. So we had a large Honda generator, like a 5,000 watt Honda generator, in the back of the truck, strapped down with this collection unit, which had sections of pole that would be joined together to get to the depths of the bin. Because what you would do, do you want me to describe the process?
By all means, yes.
So the bins that the farmers would store their wheat in was, it would vary, you know, from...
A lot of these stainless steel or whatever, the big cylindrical tanks that are... you see on the farms.
Right. So those storage bins would average, you know, maybe only 20, 30 feet tall, but sometimes could get up to 60 or 70 feet tall.
Oh, yeah.
And so what we had was these, on this vacuum cleaner, so we had like a long hose, and then attached to the hose was a metal end, and then each one of these rods that were about 6 feet long would then be attached and held into place with a linchpin. Mm-hmm. So each section would be attached as you would go. So you would push, you'd climb to the top of the bin, open the hatch, turn on the vacuum. The guy in the bottom, we worked in teams of two, and the guy in the bottom would turn on the vacuum, and you would start prodding down into the grain, and you try and keep an even pace. And then when you'd get to the end of your pole, you'd flag to the man to shut the unit off. You would disconnect, and you would add another length. You would stand up now, because now you're on a long pole again. Yeah. And you would turn the vacuum back on, and you would feed it down. And you would try and what they wanted was a continuous sample from top to bottom of the bin, as even as you could get. So you kind of had to figure out the speed in which you needed to push the probe. And you could listen. You could hear the wheat
swishing by
the tube. You got a feeling of what you were getting, plus the guy at the bottom. After a few, you would figure out dumping the machine. It would have a blow off, so if you overfill the machine, it would blow out the top dust, you know, so you would know you're full. So you would try and time it out. It didn't take us long before Rob and I had figured out, you know,
and how much were you pulling out of one of those?
The idea was to get a 5-gallon bucket out of each silo. So the really big ones, you would try and push it very quickly, of course, and the smaller ones, you know.
Could be done more slowly.
A little more slowly. So and that was the goal, was to try and get an even sample from top to bottom.
From every granary that a farmer had.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. And so some of the yards, we were there for quite some time, each yard, but others, it was just a few bins we'd come and go. And
what did you do then with what you had pulled out? You'd have a 5-gallon bucket then.
So you'd hammer the lid on, label it, and we were encouraged if we collected too many samples to send them back, courier. I think we only may have done that once throughout our because Rob and I were very efficient at doing the job, and we made it home most nights. We stayed in a couple hotels.
What territory were you given? Or how was the province divided up in terms of territory?
Yeah, it was strange. I guess it was in three sections.
Three
teams,
so
we had Western province from the southern border to about 75, Highway 75. So that's to Emerson, right?
Yes. The whole?
Yeah.
Oh, the whole, the south of the province.
Pretty much the south of the province from the number one highway south
of number one highway 75 to the Saskatchewan border,
yeah,
then,
pretty,
and the
pretty
US
much
border.
And actually I think in the end, because we did do so well and finished our section, we moved up. Mm-hmm. And started doing some more. And actually, they talked of moving us to Saskatchewan because there was the same project going on in Saskatchewan at the time, and they were a little behind. So, mm-hmm. But as it turned out, we never did have to mm-hmm. help pick up the slack. They finished their project. And
how long do you take to finish the project?
It's tough to recall exactly how long it took now.
Were you at it for a month or two?
Oh, months? It was at least, no, it was... It was at least a month. I think it was more like 6 or 7 weeks, mm-hmm. not including the bit of preparation and training. And
sure.
So through the fall, was...
Maybe the middle of September till the end of October, perhaps, roughly?
Yeah, about that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that would be about accurate, like mm-hmm. without actually having... See, I'd never had kept any records of that job.
They kept
that I
the
could
records.
Find. Yeah, they have all the records. So
did you get any kind of sense of what they did with your samples then? You just you brought them in and... They had a warehouse or whatever.
Well, the point of was to understand what was in the storehold so they could price it for sale. So they knew what they had, right? So they that was the way that they would determine the price. The different grades and the amount.
But the SGS wasn't buying.
No, they were working for the wheat board. They were working for the wheat board. The wheat board commissioned SGS mm-hmm. to do this testing. So they were just working for the wheat board. So,
did you get a sense of why the wheat board wanted this? Because the sampling
for
was
pricing.
New.
I was told it was to help them better understand what was, being held mm-hmm. For grain rather than just what they had in.
Was there a big carryover in 2005? I mean, that is to say, was there a lot of crop from the previous year that?
We'll see that.
We'd have to check that elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I wouldn't know that.
That's fine. How well were they organized in terms of sending you out into this district, that which is quite a large one? What is it, 200 miles long?
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, that was one of the conflicts, I guess, we had.
Yeah, so it's a good 60 miles, I think 70 miles deep, because I grew up a little, well, anyway, I don't need to get into that, but... If it were 70 miles, would it be 200 miles?
Oh, it's a big section. Yeah, I mean, initially they were setting the appointments mm-hmm. at this central office. They were calling the farmers, and they were getting a terrible response rate. Because that's another thing, too. Only the farmers that wanted you there. It wasn't every farm, right?
They could say no.
Yeah, they could say no. Absolutely, they could say no. And they got a lot of no's in the beginning. I think the problem was the way they were communicating the message. Because when I took over making the appointments, I was getting, nearly 100% response to enthusiastically to come and do... Yeah, so I think it was the message wasn't clear to the farmers.
Who was making the call? What was the office staff like for this?
Oh, they were from the Ukraine. Almost everyone. So there was
my ancestors. Our ancestors.
But they were directly from. So there was a language barrier. So I think there was an issue with the way that the message was relayed to the farmers.
Because the company is Swiss, but they were employing Ukrainian raised.
Well, I mean, it's such an amazing global company. From the little bit I got to know about it. I was offered a job driving truck in Iraq. Driving fuel tankers for a wing of their company in Iraq by them at the time.
What were they doing in Iraq?
Hauling fuel. They had fuel tankers.
Why did you turn that down?
$90,000 for 9 months in non-taxable foreign income, but it's a good chance you'd be shot and killed or captured and
I'd be very ironic.
Beheaded. I mean, I asked them if I could spend the money before I went. And, had I been in my 20s, I probably would have taken the job, but I was a little... More cautious.
The company that's up for pretty well any challenge.
Yeah, they had global, they were a global network. Interesting
anyway,
opportunities there.
Back
so.
To these Ukrainian, what, girls who were...
Yeah, these women, they had their script, which was very poorly written from, like I understood, I saw what they were reading from after. It made no sense. And, but so what I would do is I took over for that, for them and start, because they weren't, they were just seeing, okay, you're in a section, So they were calling farmers in the section without looking at the map to see where exactly their farm was. So so we were finding they would give us these appointments, and they would be, you know, across the province from one another, you know, back to back. And next to each other for the
Winkler,
next.
Like, and then next it would be in Verdon or something.
Yeah. And then back to Carmen. Like, I mean, you drive right past the place you just went through to get back to the one you were at before. Like,
and you were given them in order.
Oh, it was crazy. You know, we were missing appointments, phoning farmers from the truck. I mean, it was a disaster. So when I ended up taking over, I coordinated the map. I looked at where the locations were.
Yeah, because you had a list of locations that had to be sampled.
Yeah, and then so I would call and say I was calling on behalf of the wheat board, right? Because they understand who the wheat board is. They don't know who SGS is, right?
But
they know who the wheat board is. Yeah. So when I'd say I'm calling on behalf, not from the wheat board, but on behalf of, because it was their pilot project, is that we were employed by them to get these samples. So I would say, you know, I need to come take a sample for grading. And I told them what it entailed, climb on the bins, and we were insured, and we had these, you know, paperwork with us, right? And we would like to meet someone there if possible. Yeah, you know.
Did they have to sign off on it? Or?
Well, they did check up on us, you know. They did call back the farmers, you know, to make sure we were
that you'd been there.
Yeah, we'd been there and done the
sampling.
But
you didn't
properly.
Have to get a signature from the farmer.
I don't think so, but we would get a name. You know, we'd get whatever information. We had a sheet. You know, we had some paperwork that we'd fill out.
And so you grouped the locations, the farmer's locations.
Yeah, and that's how what made our area so productive. We got so many samples and finished and talked of moving on to help other areas. And like I say, we did there help that one area in the end. So yeah, it went well in the end. It started off on a bumpy road. It was rough in the initial beginning of the project, but we got ourselves together and it went well. I worked well with Rob. It was great having a friend to drive around the province with and meet all these wonderful farmers, you know, talking to them was very interesting. So, yeah, that was the... So we took these samples for that fall.
Right.
Of the wheat.
Owen's father was a grain inspector.
Mm.
Have any questions arisen in your mind about all of this, Owen?
Well, I'm just wondering what it was leading to. You know, this, usually the inspections would take place. Well, I guess they would. Would there ever be inspections on the farm before the?
I wouldn't have thought so. Yeah. But I mean, I'm off the farm 55 years now. So
most inspections would have taken place in 40 years.
Well, there's a laboratory in Winnipeg that I visited my friend Bill at. Mm-hmm. You know, that he worked at for SGS.
When a farmer brought in a load, an initial grading was done. As I remembered at the elevator, this would be 60 years ago so, and I don't suppose that
off
really
the truck.
Changed.
Periodically, I was told throughout unloading, like by the farmers, because the farmers would
the
say some of them would say like you could just take from the door, like they thought we were nuts. Some of them to climb these bins with this crazy contraption and all this hose and risk our lives to take the sample. They would say just take it from the door. But no, we were really diligent about doing our job, and Rob and I. You know, took it quite seriously. They were paying us really good money. Mm-hmm. So, and that was a little bit of the controversy too. They thought we were cheating at points because we'd ran our section so efficiently. You know, they really did check to make sure we were, but we were.
You call the farmer, were they there?
Yeah, and what did they do while they were there? You know, and the crazy guys climbed the bins, like, you know.
They vacuumed the stuff out. So.
Yeah. So it was an interesting job for that fall. I rather enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Sorry it didn't continue into another. But I mean, some of the things, like I said, they weren't really interested in driving truck for them.
Well, no.
So these samples would be sent, you'd seal them.
To Winnipeg, so say you'd be
the
sealed.
SGS, and then they would do what with that?
Well, they would grade it. They
and
would
report to the wheat board.
And then report to the wheat board the findings on what they had. And then that would allow the wheat board to be able to better understand their stock and how they could price themselves on the market. So that's what I understood. I understood that it was to better help them understand what they had so they could better price what they had.
And at this end, they would just be confirming that, I would assume.
That would be what they actually had to export or sell to whomever.
Hmm.
It does. Did you get any kind of this was a first?
It was a first and last, from my understanding, that it didn't continue. Because my friend Bill just passed away last month, and he worked for SGS when he became ill last year.
But he never called you about more employment? Or?
No, not in that sense. No, I could have worked as a you know, maybe somebody else in the laboratory, like a junior
or making
something,
calls
some laboratory
for
work.
Them. You could have
they didn't like that at all. They didn't like I was stepping on too many toes, in the office
way?
There. Well, I just think that I really outdid some people there.
And showed
and
up
they,
others.
Yeah, that really rubbed some people the wrong way there. And
all these Ukrainian women.
Well, whomever. I think it was the one or two people who were running the project, I think, were a little offended that I'd stepped in and outdone, you know, them in this... And some really basic things, you know. I felt like I wasn't sure what their background was, but you know, like as a truck driver, my background was scheduling.
Get there as fast as possible.
Well,
get the job done
and efficiently. Like the last thing you want to do in a truck is drive back and forth down the same road from one place to another. You know, I mean, unnecessarily. Like that's a waste of fuel and time. I mean, money. So, I mean, you know,
you were being paid by the
hour. So we were like, I mean, and that was part of the problem too. The other teams, I don't think, felt the pressure to, you know, make the project run any better. So they never really picked it up. You know, they never took a hand in their areas in that way either. It was just Rob and I. You know, Rob has a terrific strong work ethic too. Like he's a good, you know, Mennonite, and with a good strong work ethic.
You're slightly removed, but you understand a work ethic too.
Oh, and I worked for his dad. His dad had his own business for quite some time, Cosmic Cleaners. In Winnipeg, and he's very well respected in the business community. A very hardworking guy, still working to this day. I'm sure Rob's dad is well into his 70s, if not 80, and he just bought a tool that does power removal of ceramic tile, and he's stripping floors with these power tools still. So I mean, no, the work ethic runs deep in the Heinrichs family. And
who were the other four fellows?
I couldn't tell you, honestly. I met them at the base a couple times, but I mean, it was just in passing. We would be loading and unloading maybe some equipment at time to time, but no, they were strangers.
Yeah,
to me,
and so. You and Rob were a self-contained team.
Well, you know, that was nice that we knew each other previously and then were able to do this job together. That too made it.
Was there one person running the office?
I couldn't tell you who that was. Again, you know, it was just a...
Did you make the calls from the office?
I remember sending the contract to you. Do you recall that? They had me sign a contract, and I remember marking it up in great detail and saying, well, a lot of these clauses are illegal, but they, you know, they can have you sign it, but they can't hold you to it because there's laws against these sorts of things. I remember that quite distinctly, and you sending me back this contract all marked up, and I signed it, and I did the job, but, you know, they...
You didn't keep a photocopy of it.
No, I'm not good at keeping... I was really quite astonished that I'd kept this certificate. I think the only reason is I have a collection of business cards.
Sure.
And some old certificates and IDs. It just got jammed in there, and I thought I'd recalled it.
Oh, Owen, please.
I have a question. Who designed the equipment? Or is this a one-of, sort of a project?
I don't know who engineered the equipment. But they did a good job, I gotta say. Like, I was pretty impressed with the construction
of
the
suction.
Harvester. Yeah, they did quite a bit of work. I think that actually pushed our start date back. I think they were perfecting that. I think it was very difficult, and there was a lot of engineering and work that went into those harvesters. I actually worked with big harvesters harvesting peat moss.
Mm-hmm.
For Sungrow.
Oh, to Bozager way.
By Bozager. And they're as large as a house. And they pick up peat off the ground with these large vacuuming units. And I was just as impressed with these little ones. They did the job really well. Like, there was a long tube to, you know, they had really powerful engines. They'd done their homework. Because even with all those probes on, we were still picking up grain. down to the bottom of some of these bins. So, you know, it was really fantastic. It was a good machine.
A vacuum cleaner in our house.
Oh, you could use this in a barn to vacuum up after a horse.
OG&K stable, yeah, the famous one that Hercules took on.
Yeah.
He ran a river through the stable to clean it out.
Well, he never had a shop vac like this thing. This was a shop vac on steroids.
Well, are there
magnificent
any other aspects of the... You've mentioned things of these... I should put on the tape, I guess, that you're my son. So we've talked at times about this a little bit.
Well, probably the only way you would have been aware of such a role that I did play, you know, in that...
Completely coincidental, fortuitous that you should have
this small little pilot project might actually mean something to somebody at some point. But, you know, so I'm happy to contribute. Sorry it can't be a little more detailed, but, you know, I don't have... Like I say, any of the records other than the certificate to peg the date down. So
you didn't have any issues with asthma or
No.
Did they have proper health and safety?
No. but we did have lanyards, and we had, like I say, the fall protection program that they sent us to Saskatoon for was provided. And, you know,
if you'd fallen and broken a limb, it would have been on your head in a sense, because you weren't supposed to do that.
We had the proper gear. Yeah. We had the gear, and we had the training.
The wheat board probably required that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a requirement. The contract they had. It made sense. It made sense to put us through those.
Well, we learned yesterday that SGS and another company are here in Thunder Bay doing the grading, I guess, these days. I don't know whether I should... suggest that you just kind of wander by in case the joints up.
Worldwide laboratories, like I say, the things that they're involved with.
What was the sense you got about how big the company actually was?
Massive, huge, all kinds of laboratories and, you know, inspections on so many things. Like I said, the fuel thing popped up because that's the thing in any large organization like that, there's so many facets to a business like that. Where, you know, every little cog in the system. So yeah, at that point when I mentioned I had a class one of the recruiters had said, "Would you like to go to Iraq?" And you know, it wasn't appealing. But and then I think I rubbed some people the wrong way at head office, like I say, over that scheduling, because we were quite efficient once I'd taken over that scheduling.
But you saved the money.
Saved them. Could have milked it. Oh, could have milked it for all kinds, you know, of money if you're just...
Which is what the other four probably
they were taking no initiative to make things better, especially if it meant rocking the boat. Because, you know, like I say, there was opportunities there, which some of them may have actually capitalized on and may have had careers with SGS. And I may have really shot myself in the foot, you know, by stepping on those toes. But I just couldn't help it. I couldn't... With any conscious... I couldn't take their easy dollars. Wouldn't be the first time I've turned down some easy dollars or made some either, you know, so I'm not, you know.
Well, you enjoyed the project.
And I did. I enjoyed the project. It was fun. Yeah, it was a good time.
Well, I there's nothing more to add. No questions you have. Any questions we should have asked?
Oh, no. I mean, you prodded me a little, and I think I provided what I mostly remember about the project.
How were the farmers to deal with?
Great. You know, that was one of the best parts. I mean, the farming these days is a big business. A lot of them were really struggling. The ones that I did meet often were, you know, proprietors of small farms. Many of them worked other jobs, and wives were nurses and, you know, bus drivers. There's a lot of buses in the yards, and you know, it was a tough grind for anyone who wasn't big farming. And the big farming is just mainly leasing land to big producers that come in and like that harvest with, you know, massive harvesters that tour the country in these harvesting teams now. Like, it, you know, we didn't meet too many farmers that harvested their own stuff. Those were the small farmers we did meet. Which, you know, complained of their struggles. Like, it's definitely, you could see, you know, and the very quiet rural towns that we would visit, you know, it was definitely a shrinking...
Maybe I should put on the tape, you know, my own sort of vaguer memories, but there was a time earlier when Canadian farmers would head south in the middle of the summer with their harvesting equipment and begin harvesting in Texas and work their way north as crops ripened until, you know, by late August into September, they were in Canada doing the custom, it was custom harvesting was the work in the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that may well be continuing, actually, that if farmers don't have equipment, they may be depending on people who are still doing that.
Oh, yeah, because it's big, big money. These mega harvesters that they run now, a small farm can't buy the type of equipment they
several
need.
Several hundred thousand.
Oh, sometimes millions. These are massive, massive pieces of equipment.
Do you remember any farmers in the, say, the Carmen area, east of Carmen or north of Carmen?
They were familiar names on the list because of my, heritage.
Grandparents growing up there or farming there and so north of Kelross and all of that.
Yeah, but I didn't prod too much into that. I didn't make it about myself.
No,
I'm definitely not
about their wheat.
The historian, right? I'm there about them. So
it just wheat you were testing, incidentally, or other crops?
No, there was a couple.
No,
we didn't do canola. No, we did wheat, but there was
flax or barley, oats. They would be the crops that the wheat board would handle, particularly the wheat they'd have the monopoly on.
We
still
did barley. I could talk to Rob. He might. I never did get a hold of him before this interview. I thought of it, but then when I found the certificate with the date on it, I thought I wouldn't bother. But you know,
yeah,
could add it to the record possibly later on, a little footnote.
Yeah.
If
we'll
I do
think about that. Well, thanks very much, Bryce.
Oh, my pleasure.
Telling us all about this. It's been fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
I much enjoyed it.
And
this, you're welcome.
This wraps things up on the 23rd of December 2015.
Mm-hmm. Great.
10 years after.
I've turned this off, but I still don't believe.
That you wrapped it up.